We're talking about the providence of God. I've tried 3 or 4 weeks now to wrap this thing up and move to another subject. So I'm going to try again this week and see if we can get it to where I think we can uncouple and go somewhere else. But God in His providence is just absolutely overwhelming. As far as my mind's concerned, I can't understand it. I just can't. I don't expect you to understand it. But it's beyond description how God in His mercy and in His marvelous grace of His own volition chose a people. I don't know if you woke up this morning and realized this or not, but the world's going to hell in a wastebasket. And America's leading the way. We're fighting issues today that I never thought we'd see. Who ever thought? Not one of us had a thought 20 years ago, 12 years ago, 10 years ago, that we'd be seeing children being mutilated by doctors and parents because they think that they are in the wrong body. This thing is far beyond abominable. It's heartbreaking when you think about it. Because that child, listen, the child has no business making the decision at those ages. Now listen, I mean when they're grown, and if they want to do that to themselves, it's not right by any stretch of the imagination, but if they're going to do it, let's wait and let's see what they decide to do after they grow up. But here's the sin of the thing. When parents allow it to happen, and when educators won't even tell the parent the child is identifying as another sex. My great-granddaughters told us that in the school they were attending, they had sandboxes. Guess why? Some of the children were identifying as cats. Now, you think we're in bad shape, honey. The abomination is taking place all around us. But now watch this. In the providence of God, God has chosen out of all of that wickedness, all of that ungodliness, God has chosen a people for His name. Boy, when I look at that kind of garbage, I'm so glad I'm saved, it's pitiful. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm glad God found me. I heard a preacher saying today on the radio that he found God. Well, I didn't find God. God found me. He's the only one that was looking. I wasn't looking. He's doing the looking. But the good thing about it was He knew where to find me. Say amen right there. Praise God and pass the apple butter. Whew. Turn with me to the book of Malachi for a few moments tonight, just to, in verse number 17. Now, well, let me back up just a little bit. The verse number 16, paragraph marked there. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. Isn't that great? You speak about Him, and guess what He does? He starts listening. Praise God. I'm glad He does. And heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. God will not forget.
Amen.
Will not forget. Verse number 17. They shall be mine, saith the Lord. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, I'll spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. I'll take care of them. What a promise. What a promise. If you have a valuable jewel, you kind of watch over it, don't you? Kind of make sure it's where it can be safe. People have given their lives protecting their property and their jewels, so to speak. But the fact is that God thinks enough of us that He'll spare us, watch over us as one would watch over a precious jewel. Father, we gather in this place again tonight. Lord, I need your help physically. I need your help spiritually. These folks need our help tonight. Lord, let me be a help to them. Let us encourage one another in these last days.
Amen.
When sin is sparking around us, when hell is opening its mouth wide, when men seem to have no idea of what's right, dear God, have mercy. Have mercy. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm grateful that in this hour, as wicked as it is, God still cares for His sheep.
Amen.
God still watches over those that He has chosen. Throughout the Scripture, we are called jewels, as I just read to you. The church is called sheep. A lot of times we don't like to be called sheep because sheep are dumb.
Amen.
But when we really look at ourselves, we find out just how dumb we really are.
Amen.
The church is probably the dumbest outfit on earth.
Amen.
And the reason is because we haven't asked the God of wisdom for wisdom. One of the popular singers of days gone by said, "The church is the easiest people to fool in the world." Because that outfit that he was with was drunks, whorehoppers, every kind of immorality. And yet they'd go into churches and sing gospel songs.
Amen.
And folks began to shout with them.
Amen.
He said, what fools they are.
Amen.
What fools we are, really.
Amen.
Sheep don't see well. Sheep don't hear well. They don't distinguish well. God help us.
Amen.
The only way you'd ever get to glory is that God guides you along the way.
Amen.
But the shepherds stay close. And that's what this verse told us is happening. He's watching over us as we go along the way. And the providence of God, God's providence is to choose a people, to sustain a people, to secure a people,
yes.
And then to glorify a people.
Amen.
When this thing's over.
Amen.
Now he's going to do that. That's God's eternal purpose. He is going to do that. Someone said the church is going to be ragged when it gets to glory. Not so.
No.
Not so. No, the church is going to be purified.
Amen.
The church is going to be in white robes.
Amen.
The church is going to be glorifying the God of glory. And we're going to be pure because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. So we're called sheep. We're called precious, lively stones, redeemed. The church of the firstborn, little children, peculiar people. Well, because we're His, He can call us what He wants to. But in every name, there is that precious reality that we belong to Him. I don't know of a greater joy tonight that I could even bring across this pulpit than to say to you, it's a joy to know that you belong to Christ.
Amen.
Now, how did all this come to pass? In the providence of God, how did all this come to pass? In Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 27, the Scripture tells us that He created us. You and I were created by the God of glory. God created man. Now, I have a bit of an argument with a lot of theologians. Not that I am a theologian, but I have a lot of argument with theologians who say still that we're in the image of God. Well, the reality is that we're in the image of Adam, a fallen Adam. Because we are like that Adam that left the garden. Not the Adam that lived in the garden and walked with the Lord God in the cool of the day. We are in the image of that fallen Adam.
Amen.
The last child that's recorded in the Scriptures of Adam and Eve, the Scripture plainly states, and Adam begat a son in his own image.
Yeah.
Need to pay attention to what the Bible says.
Amen.
instead of what theologians run down the road with. So we're in the image of Adam, the fallen Adam. And because we are fallen, we have to be redeemed. We have to be bought back from the slave market as it is. Now God made us. He formed us in the womb, the psalmist says. And the truth is that without God, none of us would be here.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, the truth is without God, we'd all be in hell tonight. If God hadn't sent a Savior, if we weren't in hell, we'd be crawling over each other's back to get there first.
Amen.
That's what sinners are doing. Just think about that for a moment. The sinner in this world today, that's why there's so much ungodliness taking place. They're trying to invent something that's worse than it was yesterday. And they're being very, very expertise. They must know what they're doing. Become experts at creating evil. And they're crawling over each other's back to try to get to hell first.
Amen.
And joking about it on the way there. Won't be any joke when they get there.
Amen.
I promise you that. But God created man. And man, rather than staying where he should have been with God, went his own way. Chose another route. And now man's lost.
Amen.
Lost in the darkness of sin and ungodliness. Without hope and without help in the world. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What a precious little verse of Scripture. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
And God put Noah on the ark, he and his family. Great preaching right here, if you'll think about it for a moment. The reason Noah's family is on the ark is because of Noah finding grace.
Amen.
I made a statement last week that there is such a thing as household salvation. But there's a good proof of it. Noah's family's on the ark because of Noah. Just like the children of Israel come out of Egypt because of Moses.
Amen.
And just like they go into the promised land because of Joshua.
Yes.
And I could go on and on. But the fact is that man is a lost, condemned, hell-bound sinner with no hope until Jesus comes on the scene.
Amen.
You say, well, they had the law and the sacrifices and the priest and the tabernacle and the temple and all of that. None of that led them to Christ. God designed the law to show them just how desperate they were in sin, how destitute they were without hope. That fellow that came to Jesus and said, oh, I've kept the law from my youth up. He's lying through his teeth. You know how I know that? Because Jesus said, well, go sell what you have and come follow me. And he went away sorrowful because he had much riches.
Amen.
Now, what in the world? I thought he'd kept the law. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What happened to his keeping the law?
Amen.
Check him off. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Hey, now he may have been a good guy.
Yeah.
And how many good guys go to hell? Every blessed one of them that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So man's a condemned sinner. And because he's a condemned sinner, he has to be brought to God.
Amen.
So then, God chooses a people. It's an astounding thing that God had to choose people when all the people were his to start off with. But God creates and then he chooses a people. In Ephesians chapter 1, I mentioned this on last week, verse number 4. According to his chosen us in him before the world began. Before the foundation of the world. Simon Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, that we're a chosen generation. I like that. A chosen generation. God said several times throughout the Old Testament to Israel, I didn't choose you because you were the most of people, but I chose you because I loved you. Now stay with me for a minute, because right here is where theological roots break off and the tree falls. Out of all the peoples on the earth, God chose a fella by the name of Abraham. Abram to begin with. Abram was in a land of idolatry. No doubt he was a worshiper of idol gods, just like everyone else.
Amen.
Now, you're about to get the picture. Here is a world of people created by God Almighty. And in less than 2,000 years, they're all idolaters. Every one of them.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? There is no godly line anywhere in all of God's creation. Nowhere. But God said to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to get out of town. Now why Abraham? There's nothing good said about Abraham, but God chose Abraham.
Amen.
Did you ever stop and ask God why he chose you?
Amen.
Because he's God.
Yes.
That's the only answer. Because he's God and he does as he will. So God chose this fellow by the name of Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to leave this idolatrous land and go to a land that I'll show you.
Amen.
And I'll give to you and your offsprings. And Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees and heads out for a place called Canaan that he knew absolutely nothing about. Now look up here and think about this for a moment. Abraham traveled through all the land of Canaan. And the only piece of dirt that Abraham ever owned was a burial spot for his wife that he bought from a bunch of pagans. That's all Abraham ever knew. But Abraham had a promise. Are you looking at me? Listen to me. Abraham had a promise. And Abraham believed the promise. That's what made Abraham different from all the rest. He believed the promise of God.
Amen.
Yes.
Can you imagine Abraham walking through the land, looking it over, and thinking, God, you've promised me this. You promised me this. And he's believing God all the way. Though Abraham did not inherit the promise, yet by faith he looked forward to the promise that God had made and believed God.
Amen.
And God accounted that to him for righteousness.
Amen.
Are you still in the house?
Yes.
God said he's righteous. Why? Because he believed God.
Amen.
Isn't that something? One man in all of God's creation, one man that the scripture could say he believed God. Now, I don't know about you, but that looks like an humble beginning to me. It looks like a slow start.
Amen.
If it had been me, I'd rather start off with a bunch of folks. But God never gets in a hurry. Let me tell you something that'll tire you up. God sent Jesus into this world. And for 30 years, he never preached a sermon. For 30 years, he walked around among unbelievers. Oh, they were religious. But they didn't believe what God had promised.
Amen.
No, no, no. They were making little gods of themselves and making laws for themselves and making themselves righteous through their own works, which God had rejected long since.
Amen.
And for 30 years, Jesus just walks around as a man on this earth. Now look up here. I'm going to tell you something. Here's where it all gets to where folks want to grab a cup of coffee and pass out. For 30 years, people died and went to hell.
Amen.
And Jesus walking around on there.
Amen.
I dare you to go to any church in this area and see if you can hear that statement made.
Amen.
Find me one place that anybody during that time, until John the Baptist, are you listening? The world's still going to hell.
Amen.
And Jesus is here.
Amen.
God doesn't get in a hurry. But when he goes to work, he gets the job done.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
God chose Abraham. And then from Abraham's seed, God chose a family. It goes from Abraham to Isaac, not from Abraham to Ishmael. Ishmael's a type of the flesh. Isaac is the spiritual side of the thing. Isaac is where the seed is called. And it's reckoned back to Isaac, then to Jacob. Jacob's 12 sons make up the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. They still haven't inherited the land. Are you still here? They still haven't inherited the land. And Jacob and his family go into Egypt. We've talked about Joseph already and the providence of God caring for his people. Joseph brings his family into Egypt. There they are for 400 years. Under bondage to the world. Under bondage to the Egyptians. Idol worshiping Egyptians. But somebody believed God. I'm working on a sermon. Brother David and I were in a meeting and another fellow was preaching. And I told David, I said, I got a thought from what he said. And he said, what is it? I said, somebody go get God.
Amen.
Boy, aren't we in a need for that tonight.
Yes, sir.
And all this is taking place down in Egypt and somebody said, somebody go get God.
Amen.
Well, God put Moses on the scene.
Yes, sir.
You know the story.
Oh, yeah.
What I'm getting to in this point tonight is that God chose these people out of all the people in the world. This crowd that looks at you right cross-eyed when you make a statement about election know absolutely nothing about the Scripture. Absolutely nothing. God is a choosing God. God chose Israel and the world went to hell. Is that right or is that right?
That's right.
You know enough about the Scriptures to know I'm telling you the truth. God chose Israel and the rest of the world went to hell. In the providence of God, God chose a people. And from Israel, God sent his darling son to save the church.
Amen.
Of whom I am one.
Yes.
The same belief that was in Abraham is in my bosom tonight.
Yes, sir.
I believe the promise of God.
Yes.
I believe in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm God's youngin' because God chose me. You're God's child because God chose you.
Amen.
Not because you chose God.
Amen.
Our Lord said to his disciples, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
Amen.
Now just look at it. Look at it. Show me one disciple that decided without Jesus coming and pointing him out and calling him. Show me one disciple just come up and said, hey, I want to go with you.
Amen.
He chose his people. In the providence of God, God came where you were and chose you in an experiential fashion. You had already been chosen in the mind of God before the world began. One of the hardest things in the world for a natural man to get in his head is that God knew from the beginning what the end was going to be. Listen, if God's not big enough to know the beginning and the ending, then he's not big enough to save you.
Amen.
He's not big enough to keep you, but he is. Good news, he is.
Amen.
He does know
Amen. The
beginning and the ending, as far as we're concerned. But there is no end where God's concerned. And there is no end to eternal life But God has promised to those whom he has chosen to be his own. I've heard preachers act like they were proud that God had chosen them and left others behind. Look at me.
Amen.
If there's anything that ought to humble you in your heart, is that God would choose you.
Amen.
While those around you go to hell. I'm going to give you this account and I'll finish. Jerry and Gary, both of you know these names. The night God saved me experientially, I was sitting in the bass row of the choir at Union Baptist Church in Hampton, Tennessee. That night, God reached down in my heart and began to stir something that I had never felt before. And God saved me that night.
Amen.
By his marvelous grace. As far as I know, the best of my knowledge, both of those men died without Christ. Now look at me. I'm telling you the truth before God. That does not make me proud. That just makes me rejoice in the grace of God. Why me? Why me? It could just as well have been one of them. But God. But God. In the providence of God and in God's time, both of those boys died early in life, and both of them, as far as I know, never came to know the Christ of glory. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's folks that are dear to you, and there's folks that are better than you. But God saved you, and they'll perish without hope. One of the hardest things in the world to get honest Christian people to believe is what I've preached to you tonight.
Amen. Right.
But when you get on this side and look back and begin to think, how did all this happen? It all happened because in the providence of God, it was planned before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And in God's plan and in God's time, remember that, in God's plan and in God's time, it comes to pass.